2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, before I read this, I want to just summarize something. While going through this book of 2 Corinthians, one of the things I've come to realize is that Paul had just a few things to talk about. It's just that when people like him are speaking, in trying to make a point, I said that at the beginning when I read the book of Romans, he will use many expressions to try and explain himself. And in each of those things, you will find a lot of truth to understand. You understand what I mean? Now, so there's just one thing. There are very few things he's trying to say in this second Corinthians. We started from chapter 1. You see that he emphasized the fact that he was not a crafty person, a deceitful person. He was trying to, that everything he said is as he said those things. That with him, everything is said openly, that he walks in godly sincerity. All right? He said, holiness and godly sincerity. We read that from verse 1, chapter 12. He said, our proud confidence is this, that is the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially towards you. And he said, of course, that is in opposition to walking in fleshly wisdom. He said, what we have experienced, what we have used for the instrument as the instrument of effect in your lives is the grace of God. And that grace is manifested in the lives of those who walk with godly sincerity and in holiness. Now, that's what he tried to explain. The reason being that some people were doubting his consistency. And Paul was trying to emphasize to them that my problem, and that the problem is not my consistency, that if I do things, I do them openly. Anything I say is the way I mean it, all right? There are no hidden things. And I don't use tricks or techniques to try and get the message out. I do things openly. And any power, any manifestation we experience is the manifestation of the grace of God. And the lesson we learn for ourselves there is that that's how life is supposed to be. That you don't use any trick. I use this practical example to help us in many things. And the example is the fact that a man is not supposed to try to persuade a woman to marry him. It is not godly, it is wrong. What he's supposed to do is to express his intention and make himself known as he really is. And if she likes it, it's the grace of God. If she doesn't, we bless the Lord and we'll keep moving. No, really. And that's how it is. If you are doing business, it's the same principle. You know, some of the ways by which the world tries to market is evil. You see, I was watching TV some time ago, a few days ago. You know, there's a lot of crisis in the capital markets all over the world now. You know, credit crisis in America. America needing $700 billion of money from whatever to bail out the banks. All right? And, you know, yesterday my wife and I sat down, we're watching TV, and the CEO of Lehman Brothers. Lehman Brothers is a company, an investment company that has been there for over 100 years. Finally collapsed, all right, a few weeks ago. And the CEO was there before Congress and he was testifying. They said the man didn't know they were going to ask how much money he was being paid. And in his tenure as CEO, he had earned over $500 million as compensation, wages, and all of that. Meanwhile, what he succeeded in doing was running a company to the ground. That a company that has existed for over 100 years is now extinct. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. So my wife said, how come? You know, I just said, look, wait, this guy is not a wicked man. He's not a stupid man. I said, a lot of those people, they knew what was going on. But if you don't go along, you will get sacked because the company won't make money as fast. They knew it wouldn't work. I mean, how can you start lending money to people that you know are not likely to be able to pay? I said, but then if he doesn't do it, they say, because there's a very funny way the accounting is done, especially in banking accounting. It's a very crazy way of doing things. It's so ungodly. When you have Babylon, the worldly system, it's out there and it's not a lie. You know, an example is the last one that happened in Nigeria's stock market. Everybody, when I started hearing details of how come those prices were jumping through the roof, you see, there's one company, the share price was 5 naira today. In 1 month, that's risen to maybe like 20 naira, 30 naira. And now, for your information, it's back to $5. Because that's what it is worth. That's what exactly it is worth. How did they get up to that level? When you hear some of the things that human beings will do, you see young guys, you know, buying big cars, flashing, feeling very cool with themselves. What they are doing is manipulating the market. At the end of the day, who gained? And listen, oh, God, I don't have time to talk about that. How this world moves. At the end of the day, all those who don't worry, eventually they will lose. But who are those who gained? People like Dangote, they gained a lot because they sold one third of Dangote sugar for a lot of money because everybody was buying. And if you finish buying, all the prices drop. You've given him the money. He has pocketed it. You can't take it back. It is not evil. It's God that gave that one to him. It's the rest that wanted quick money. He's been doing his business for decades, so God is happy with him. God gave him money from all the greedy people's pockets. Now, I'm bringing out the principle. Worldly system. People were making money based on corruption. Corruption is not just in government. If you men learn how to push up the prices, okay? That was not the aim of the capital market. The original aim is that as you're sitting down here, maybe you go to work, you work for the government, and you make some money. You should be able to put your money to work elsewhere, even if you can't go there. That was the aim. It's not the way by which to make people just become rich overnight. Now, I'm talking about the worldly system. The system of the world is that why do you have to work? Why can't you just become rich overnight? Unfortunately, this world is designed so that there will be productivity. As we produce, that's how we gain. Do you understand? So if all of us are enjoying and nothing is being produced, eventually we will collapse. So you find that in the world, they try to get results in interesting manners. So you see, people want to market things. That's why I went into that. They want to market a product. I'm talking about the worldly system. This is the worldly system. All right? I have made this thing. All right? And I want everybody to buy it. I spend money on persuading you to buy it rather than trying to spend the money on improving the quality of what I have made. I don't know whether you follow what I'm trying to say. I was thinking about it, you know. I saw a Mercedes-Benz drive past just now. I was standing outside there, and a thought came to my mind. I said, it's amazing that a few years ago, I loved Mercedes-Benz like crazy. But right now, I'm amongst Japanese cars. I said, I'm beginning to love Toyota. And what's the reason? Because, now, this is not why I'm loving them. I just call them, I'm beginning to love them. All right? But I thought, I said, what would be the reason? I said, simple. They have a culture. Continual improvement. That's what the company is built on. Now, I'm bringing up something about the worldly system. What's the worldly system in manufacturing? I'm more interested in what you pay rather than what I give you. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is a godly principle. Do you follow what I'm trying to say here? And I'm talking about Paul. I've not left what I'm trying to say. So Paul was explaining something. That we don't use the worldly system. Okay? What we do is what? We walk in holiness and godly sincerity. Anything that comes out of it is the grace of God. I said, I planted, Paul was speaking, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Even when it comes to people who are doing church ministry, one of the things I don't need to do, and you must never do if you're a preacher, you don't need to market a church, in quote. There's something that's going on out there, branding, marketing. Don't bring it to church. Do you get what I'm saying? It is not a way. You don't need tricks. That's what Paul was saying. We don't have methods for trying to get results. I was mentioning to you, if I was discussing with Chike a short while ago, that there's one man of God I love so much, and that's the reason why I love him so much, because I can swear that he never mounts a pulpit except for one purpose, to teach the word of God. He doesn't want anything from anybody. I'm not saying he doesn't want money, he doesn't want food, he doesn't want fame. No. I'm saying that he never exercises the ministry of his pulpit for those things. If he mounts the pulpit, I can swear by it that he's there only with one purpose in heart, to teach God's word. I have been around long enough, and I have come to understand people mount the pulpit for all kinds of things. You know, I have always been an interesting person. I have never begged anybody. Go around, go and count how many people I have invited to come and hear me preach here. You'll be shocked. I owe you one responsibility. I inform you, if you are interested, you show up. You're not doing me any favor. Igbo man has a saying, come walk, come chop, no be come walk. Am I wrong? Yeah, it's the same we have in this part of the country. He said, but this is not a matter of come chop, no be come walk. How can I be begging a man to come and eat? Let me tell you the truth. I'm not saying you shouldn't come. I'm happy you're around. Amen? And but you do know the amount of reward God gives me is not dependent on whether you are there or you're not there. It's dependent on whether I am here or I'm not here. Do you understand my point? If I teach 5 people or 50 or 100 or 1,000, it's the same reward. The Bible says that each person gets his reward according to his labor, not according to the fruit. God checks how many times I come, whether I come with a word for you, whether I remember to prepare, whether I try to do things properly. It doesn't count how many people come to hear me. Maybe that is, I understand that. I've understood it for a very long time. So that's why I'm not like, what's the problem? I only do that when I know you have a real issue. One brother saw me one day. He said, I needed to talk to me. It was my student, somebody who believes I can bless him. And So when he said that he wanted to talk to me, he had talked to me in the previous and I helped him with a few things. And then he wanted to talk to me. I called him. I said, so wait, if everybody that needs my help come to talk to me, how much time do you think I have for any other thing in life? I'm not going to talk to you. Good enough, he saw me downstairs. I said, climb upstairs. Go to our office there. Go and gather tapes and books and CDs and listen to them. And I don't have to counsel everybody every time. You get what I'm saying? How can you come and start asking me questions that I have answered to, you know? Somebody called me the other day, said, I don't know how the lady got my number. Well, he sent a text. I need to know the plan of God for my life. I need to know the will of God. I am not going to answer the person in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not answer you. Because I have only been announcing on radio. I said, these are the questions I have been answering. You are witnesses that for 9 weeks, 9 Saturdays, I've been teaching on how to locate yourself in the center of the will of God. Somebody wants an appointment so I can counsel her on it. I won't answer. Look, if you talk, I say, listen, my friend, I don't have your time. Get offended. I don't give a damn. No, really. That's just the way it is. I can't be coming here every Saturday evening teaching on how to find out God's will for your life, how to walk in the center of God. Then you want appointment on locating your destiny. Go and meet a white garment pastor. He will do a good job for you. He will pray and see a vision. That's what you want. A lot of people say, Pastor, I want to talk to you. Listen, I don't talk to those who have not been listening to me. It's against my religion because you are a waste of my time. The young man was telling me about one event. I said, my friend, go upstairs. He took the counsel. Next Saturday, he showed up for Bible studies. At the end, he came to see me. He said, sir, I just want to let you know that you have answered half of my questions by just being present for one single Bible class. Half of the questions gone. Then he began to show up regularly. I said, very good. Now you are solving your problem and mine. Last time he asked me a single question. He said, Pastor, please, I want to travel. I need some counsel. I need to ask you a few questions. Do you have a few minutes for me? I said, go ahead, shoot. He asked one question. I said, have you read the book, The Blessing? He said, no. I said, go and take one copy. He asked another question. I said, have you read Choice is Key to Destiny? He said, no. The book is over there. Because everyone, I could give you the chapter where I answered it. That was the reason why T.D. Jakes started a woman that was loose. Every woman will come up to him with the same problems. He will counsel. He discovered that the same counsel is given to one person, he's given to the next person. He said, why don't you gather everybody and give them that counsel? So he did. And that was the beginning of the worldwide fame of T.D. Jakes, trying to solve problems for everybody. So I told the young man, I said, go and look. And thank God that God proved to him that I was right. I am not saying that go and buy the CD so that we can gather money. It can be because I allow people and I encourage people to copy the CDs if they want. 5 of you come for Bible study and you are so blessed. You want plenty of Pastor Mark's messages and your students don't have too much money. I say, one person, buy one CD. Gather it. Then when you get to hostel, as you have money, be copying it. I'm not, but listen to it. Don't come for counseling when you haven't listened though. You say, please, I don't know what to do. What about what? You know, my life, what is my plan? What's God's plan for my life? Do I look like God to you? Or you think I have a direct phone line? Pick it. Okay, let me dial God. What is your name once again? Baba God, there's one young lady here. One of your daughters, yes. What's your name? Baba God is on the line. Please, can you read the chapter of her, the plan of her life for her from the books of heaven? There's one guy used to do it in Lagos. Sounds like a joke. There's one guy used to do it. People will queue up. And when you enter, hello, is that God? Is that heaven? I'm not joking. You see. Human beings not to be deceived, though. They love it. Human beings, they love deception. They love it. Makes them feel good. Settle down, hear one thing after the other, and then your life will transform. Why take so long? I beg. I want it now. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what people like. Now, why did I bring up all of these issues? So I try to explain that, look, that's has been my own attitude. It's a matter of come chop. Do you get my point? And I understand that this word will help people. And that's the only time I recommend it to them. Now, I'm bringing out something. I thank God, and that's the testimony of my conscience also, that with holiness and godly sincerity, I preach the gospel. Now, you know, when anytime I teach, I try to de-emphasize the issue of ministry and, you know, spread the thing that's pulpit ministry now and spread the thing across everybody because it happens with everybody. Listen, you don't need some crafty advertising to make your company grow. You don't need it. Don't offer what you can't deliver. The principle behind that godly advertising is to let people know you are available. I don't know whether you follow what I'm trying to say. For example, in professional bodies, at least in Nigeria, I know the way it is in medicine, you are not allowed, and it's like that with the most professions, to hype your services and say, I am a specialist in this, I have cured that, I'm able to do this, I'm put on signboard. If you do that, the Medical and Dental Council of Nigeria will close you down. You are not allowed. But you are allowed to inform of your services. You put your signboard out there and say, look, we have specialist laboratory for hormonal assays. You put it there because those are services. You are allowed to inform people of the availability of those services. There's a principle behind that, godly advertising. You are supposed to let people know what is available and what you can do. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But as by trying to sell something that you know, just to try and, you know, get results. There was one CEO in America, those days I read about. He ran the company aground. No problem. You know the reason why he did that? Now, he had a deal with the members of the board when they hired him that he was going to bring up their share price, let's assume from $20 up to $200 over a certain number of years, and he said no problem. Except that the principle behind that was not supposed to be manipulating the share price. He was supposed to do enough work and get so much results that the public will like the company and the share value will come up. But what did he do instead? He started cooking the books. They do $1 billion in sales. He says $15 billion. If they are owing money, why record that we are owing money? Write it behind. Nobody will read it there. Do you get my point? So the share value actually went up because that was the target. He was using what Paul is calling here underhanded methods. He wasn't working in godly sincerity. I'm saying all of this because that's what Paul was describing, and that's what we have seen up till now. The problem with godliness, the problem in quotes now, is that it does not beget quick results. It's ungodliness that begets quick results. But godliness begets what? Enduring results. Are you getting the principle? So Paul was explaining that that's what we have been doing. Anything we find, you see, one of the things that God has helped me with in life, in fact, yesterday I was discussing with some men. One brother downstairs here, he said that there was something that I preached once in church, and that the thing really, really changed his life. What was it that I said? I said that life has stages. That right now, you can be in a stage in which you can pay your landlord comfortably. He said that's when he discovered that he didn't need to worry himself about building a house. That right now, he's a stage of paying his landlord very well. So he makes sure he has enough money to pay the landlord all the time. Don't worry his head beyond that. And I explained something further to them, which is one of the things you've heard me teach before. And that's the fact that one of the ways that by which God has helped me in life is that he has allowed me, okay, to understand what is my responsibility in life and what is not. What do I mean? Let me give you to help some of you a few tips about life. I have discovered, financially talking about money now, I have discovered what is my responsibility and what is not. How do I know it? Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. Now, if you read it in context, what he was saying is that God has given you enough resources to solve the problems of one day. Any problem I don't have the resource to solve is not mine to solve. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Let us assume now, for example, I desire God, I want to own a house. I want to say, I go and price the house or price land, that the total cost comes to 20 million naira. And I check my account, and I found out that even if I were to cut my head and sell it, nobody will even buy it for 20 million naira. You know what that just tells me? That is not my problem to solve right now. So you know what I do? I make my request known to God, and I leave it there. Then I say, what's my problem to solve? Let us assume I'm about to go out in the morning. I say, please, I want to wear a shirt. I find that my shirt don't tear. My jacket don't fit. I check how much is jacket, how much is shirt. I can afford it. Let me tell you the truth. I won't even pray about that one. I'll just walk to where they are selling shirts, selling jackets, and buy. Do you get my point? That is, God has already given you. God gives people responsibilities. He told Adam, see this garden, cultivate it and keep it. So what God has said to me in effect by giving me money is, I see this shirt, buy it and wait. Do you understand what I'm saying? As for this house, don't go near the house matter. I haven't given that one to you. You can pray about it and leave it there. But don't even try to work out how is it going to be. It's not currently your responsibility. I've learned that. Listen, it works every way. There was a time I needed a car. I needed to change my car. And I checked the price. I checked the money I had. I didn't have. But there was a friend of mine, all right, who was doing some ministry work. And I visited the place of their ministry work. And I saw they had an acute need. It was a lot of money. Quite a lot of money. But it happened to be money I had. Actually, which I had instantly made gather towards that car I wanted to buy. Do you understand my point? So I told my wife, listen, the car is not our own to buy. Apparently, this is the responsibility that we can carry. Let's carry it. Simple. No, that's the way it is. The point is that I noticed that this need, I can meet it. No, listen, look, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You must learn to understand what crop has permitted and the one that has not. I always tell people that when you start stony mango, no one come down. You should know it's not ripe. You don't need a spirit to tell you it's not ripe. You carry stick, beat and wham, you can just swing, balance back. You carry stick, beat and swing, it's not ripe. You know now it's not ripe. If it was ripe, it would have come down. So I said, baby, you understand the point? This one we can't afford. But that gift, we can afford to give it right now, can't we? Yes. So took money and did it. That's my principle of life. I'm bringing out something. And that's what Paul is saying here. Godly sincerity. Listen, I go on how to grow church, how to grow. I say, why are you bothering? You shouldn't worry about it. You should worry about how do I preach well? How do I broadcast the preaching? How do I reach the maximum amount of people? If I know that they don't want to come to church, God bless them. If they don't want to come, I'm still going to get the same amount of reward. I hope you get the point. Are you following what I'm trying to say here? So that's what Paul was explaining. Look, godly sincerity, that what we now experience is what he called the grace of God. Read that again. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. What does it mean by the grace of God? That is, the result we have experienced has been by the power of God. How do we contact that power? It's simple, by doing our things with holiness. Holiness means walking according to purpose. That's what it means, holiness. Holiness means to be set apart for the purpose of God. That God wants to reach people, you will find that that's exactly what you are walking according to. That's what is called holiness. And in godly sincerity, no underhanded method. He said, when we have done that, what we'll experience is what? The grace of God. What God now gives us is what we will experience. And like I said, I was quoting earlier that one of the greatest things that God has done for me is to learn to know, do what is my own. Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Man is not allowed to try for increase. He's allowed to try to plant, to try to water. So Joab said to his brother, if the Ammonites are too strong, or whichever one he was handling, he said, I will help. He said, just show yourself valiant for the people of God and for the citizens of our God, and may the Lord do that which is pleasing in his sight. All that a warrior can do is be valiant. Do you get my point? But then he cannot decide the victory. Victory is of the Lord. Do you follow my point? The man, when he put in front of battle, fight. Don't give up. Don't turn your back. Fight with all your might. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. Once you have done that, victory, he said, is what? Of the Lord. And Joab said it like that, may the Lord do that which is pleasing in his sight. I wish, I've said it before, real faith, it's not that I can claim what I want anytime. That's child level faith. I have discovered that real faith is to be able to trust that God will do it in his time. As I was driving today from work, something led to it. I was meditating. I said, God, please, my prayer point. Actually, I was driving to work in the morning. I said, my prayer point again for myself is that please help me that my heart will never doubt that you are in charge and you are in control and you care about me. I said, I don't want to doubt. I said, because I've come to understand, if you can have that faith as a child, that's real faith. So that I claim it, I just declared and it came to pass like that. You just the start. Are you getting what I say? Real faith is to know that once I have done my own part, God will do his own. Listen, that was why Abraham was able to sacrifice Isaac. Get my point? The Bible says he considered him faithful who had promised. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Abraham was taking a step one after the other and say, hey, Isaac will come back. Isaac will come back with me. Oh, Isaac will come back. I believe that Isaac is going to come back. As I come back from this journey of sacrificing him, Isaac will come back. Do you believe he said that? The Bible said all he did was that he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, he received Isaac back in a figure. All that happened to Abraham was that he said that if I do what he asked me to do, he will do what he promised he will do. Let's leave it there. That's real faith. That is real faith. You hear what I'm saying? That is what? Real faith. Now, I've not forgotten that I'm not giving short exhortation today. I'm supposed to be studying 2 Corinthians chapter from chapter 3. I'm just going back to something. I said, it's not many things that Paul was trying to explain. Now, if you go further down, you will see again that Paul now went ahead, was now discussing this grace of God further. Go down to that chapter 3 now. Because what he was trying to explain here, we went to that last time, is that Paul says something. Let's quickly read chapter 2 from verse 14. He said, but thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Now, this is what the aroma does. He said, we are a fragrance of Christ, of God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one group, we are an aroma from death to death, that is those who are perishing, but to the other, an aroma from life to life. That is, once we preach, all right, because we are apostles and we're talking based on that ministry. Once we preach, some people we condemned, while some we receive the impartation of life. He said, and who is adequate to have such power over the lives of people? That's the next question. He said, who is adequate for these things? Who has within him the ability to condemn people and give life to others? Do you follow what I say? That is, who has the ability in himself to decide, let's talk business now, that this product we sell and this one we not sell. Listen, I have read a lot of books, and I thank God I'm not a foolish and uninformed person. I have read books on marketing, on business management, on this and this and that and that. I have seen they keep on analyzing why this product sold and this one did not. And I've come to the conclusion, to the writing of books, Solomon said, there is no end. They will keep writing, they will never find out why. I read the book Tipping Point, and the man tried to explain why a product that didn't sell for years suddenly started selling. The people did not even try to advertise it anymore. You know, we keep on trying to make sense out of things. Scientists will sit down, they'll sit down, and every day they'll start trying to decode why life is the way it is. How the amoeba evolved into the chimpanzee. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to find an explanation for everything. I heard a story once, and it made me laugh. I said, this guy must actually be spiritually very ignorant. How many have you ever heard of Rasputin? Rasputin, yes. It was one monk in Russia who has so much power over the imperial family. Alright? The reason being that Alexandra, the wife of Nikolai, had, of course, she had the genes for hemophilia. And she had a son. The only son she had hemophilia. And not now that medicine has advanced. Those days, there was not much they knew. And this boy was going to die if nothing serious is done. And then the only person that seemed to be able to do anything about the boy's ailment was Rasputin, a monk. Alright? Now, there was a time the boy was ill and they called. She sent a message to Rasputin. Rasputin sent a message back that they should keep the boy. Said they should. Anyway, just summarize that. Don't worry, the boy will be alright. Cut the long story short. The boy was alright. Now, why did I tell the story? The man writing the account, years later, he was trying to prove that Rasputin had no spiritual powers. And I said, why are you bothering? People can have spiritual powers. I don't know Rasputin. Don't know much about him. Apart from what I have read in books and seen in movies. Okay? But I said, why is this guy trying to prove that human beings can have spiritual powers? And he went ahead to try to explain a way, every remedy he gave, how it worked. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. That's what scientists try to do. If God does something, they want to explain. If you ever watched 10 Commandments of those days, after Moses turned the whole river to blood, they gave Pharaoh an explanation. Why is it natural occurrence? Now, what am I trying to explain? When I read all these books, they keep on trying to explain and decipher why this guy did well and that one didn't do well, and why this product sold and this one did not sell, and all the mechanisms. And I tell myself, this is why Solomon said, to the making of books, to the writing of books, there will be no end. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What they didn't understand, which is what I intend to teach people when I start our spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies, is that your job is to focus on certain issues. As for the fruit and the increase, you have no control. You can have the best product and God says it's not selling one. Right before your eyes, you will be shocked. You will use the best advertising agency in the world. They will only advertise the fact that the thing didn't succeed. You don't know. They will inform the whole world about the product. Then everybody says, why are they trying to sell it to us? Because listen, there's a spirit in the air. No, really, there are spirits. Look. Oh, I know what I'm saying. If you yield yourself to a certain kind of spirit, they have effects on you. And God, whether you like it or not, the Bible says he rules in the affairs of man and delivers the kingdoms of men to whomsoever he wishes. That's what Paul meant when he said God gave the increase. And he explained a principle, you know. Many years ago, you know, of course, if you've been reading, you talk about Yonggi Cho, how he built the largest church in the world. And everybody settles down and starts trying to learn the principle. The man will say he used to pray 5 hours a day and 7 hours a day and 8 hours a day. And you see pastors, they won't eat again. Nalayo, this church has not grown for a long time. It's because we have not prayed 15 hours a day. Oh yeah? Send your wife and your children to one corner. 15 hours a day. Why? That was what Yonggi Cho used to do in South Korea. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and the church grew. All right? Okay, everybody has gotten tired of that now. Anyway, that was then. It was the in thing. Church growth, church growth, church growth, church growth. I listened to one man. His own principle was that there was one man who built a very big church in America and he used to visit, is it 200 families a week? I said, oh man, I listened to Bishop Edipo and he said, a pastor's job, he's not visiting people. Anyway, everybody said their own. All right? Then one day, I was reading, years later, I found out that before Yonggi Cho came, I think it was either the Assemblies of God or another denomination, they had done a lot of work in the place. Do you follow my point? And the man just stepped into the increase that God was giving. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. That he wasn't the one that planted. He wasn't even the one that watered. It was just that other men labored. Jesus said, but you have stepped into their labor. I discovered that Yonggi Cho did not pray a church of 1 million into existence. Other people sowed the seeds before he was born. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, you labor the exact labor of Yonggi Cho. You labor it in Enugu. God will say, maximum congregation you are gathering is 5,000. Labor from now till tomorrow. He says, sir, what do you mean? Yonggi Cho gathered 200,000 people. Okay, he prayed 10 hours, I'll do 12. Then you start. God says, what is your problem? I'm bringing up an issue. There's a reason why I brought it up. Paul said, we're an aroma unto two groups of people. There are those that are being saved. Are you getting my point? And there are those that are destined for death. Listen, we don't save anyone. I don't know whether you get my point. We don't condemn any person in ourselves. That's what he was saying. Who has this power in himself? That is, Yonggi Cho arose as an aroma. I don't know whether you're following my point. That is, the people who are being saved, well, God, I wish you would understand. Their salvation had commenced. And then God put that man forth as an aroma to attract them to the place of salvation. I don't know whether I get my point. And in the same manner, when people are destined for destruction, God raises some people up to go and show them the direction of destruction. It is, listen, the man who killed Saul, Ahab is what I wanted to say. The man who killed Saul, Ahab, did not even know he was killing anybody. The man, till he died, he couldn't boast of the fact that I was the one that killed the king of Israel. The Bible said that one of the Syrian soldiers, fired an arrow at random in the direction of the Israelite army. And that one went and pierced in between the shoulder plates and the body armor of Ahab. Do you understand? And then he died. Why? Because God has said, who will entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead that he might die there? Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, that's how ministry is. The work God is already doing in the hearts of other people. Do you understand my point? You go and you represent the aroma that drags them to the place that God wants them to be. I don't know whether you're following my point. You are not the one who's saving anybody. That's what Paul was explaining. I'm trying to emphasize something to every child of God. Locate your responsibility and do it. Do it with holiness. I do it with purpose and do it with godly sincerity. I would like pastors to understand, it is not... Look. You don't need to use any method to build an effective ministry. You don't need it. You just need to go settle down and make sure that you walk with holiness, purpose. What am I trying to do? And second, you walk with godly sincerity. Whatever you will experience, all right, will be the grace of God. One pastor was telling me once why he located to where he is now, somewhere in Enugu State. He said he was in Enugu here. Listen. And he was preaching, had the venue somewhere in the stadium for, is it 2 or 3 years? I don't know how long. And all the congregation he gathered went up to 10. Then events moved in one day and he moved to a neighboring town. And in 1 year, they had increased to maybe like 100. He left a bigger place, went to a smaller place, congregation increased by 10. What was he doing different? Nothing. It's just that he was in a particular place. His aroma, God didn't send anybody to smell him. Do you follow the point I'm making? Those who could perceive and recognize the aroma of God that he was carrying were not there. Then when he moved to the place where they were, that is why Mike Murdock said, and I believe so much, he said, it is not only what you do that matters, it's just as important is where you do what you are doing. You've heard me say 10,000 times. One day I was going to travel, one of my friends said, ah, are you coming back? I said, from where? I said, boy, you have forgotten that I'm a minister. He said, ah, there is ministry in America too. I said, oh God, I wish you would understand. That's not what I mean. And anybody can go to the streets of America and shout, and come to Nigeria too and shout. But just as important as what Mike Murdock said is what, where. Ministry is not just that I can go to America and also preach. It's just that you will get there and you will shout and shout. God said, I have not sent anybody to come and hear you. You know, you've heard his story. You've heard of Sunday at Elijah. All right, the man is making with Ukraine. In fact, like when David Ogbuele, all right, was preaching at our church last week, he said that the man has not just preached the gospel, he has taken over a whole nation. He's good able to be inspired by it. Listen, I have enough experience in life to know that you can't wish such things to happen. I don't know whether you get my point. You don't pray such things. There are prayers you can't pray. You think Joseph had the ability to pray in prison? God lift me up and make me more important than everybody in Egypt. The only prayer point he had is, God, release me from here. I want to go back home. How do I know? When he saw an influential man, he didn't say, when job will open in government house, remember me. No. He's, oh, but don't forget me. I'm a Hebrew. My father is somewhere very far away. Now, they lie upon me where I take reach this place. I swear to God, I never did it. Please, when you become friend to IG or police or director of prisons, please help me. It was release he was praying to God for. I've said that seek first the kingdom of God and other things shall be added unto you. Like somebody said, you think he had time to be praying? Father God, I want the woman to be tall or short or fat or slim or fair or dark. There was nothing like that. Just release me. Prisoner, know they get prayer point of who my wife will be. Waiting. Nothing like that. But as soon as they released him, they gave him wife. Sharp, instantly, before he could pray, God had answered. I look at someone like that, so the Adilaja story, and I tell you, look, listen, don't get up tomorrow and say, God, I claim Belarus by faith because one man has already taken over Ukraine. If God hasn't put an aroma upon you that the white man will smell, when you come, now your head, they will take the demonstration of racism. I'm not saying something. Believers should stop trying to get, I don't know what I'm saying, you get what I'm saying? They should stop trying to get results in life. They should learn how to do the right thing. You must understand that results belong with God. Learn how to do the right things. Results belong with God. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's the power of Christianity. I was teaching that on radio. The ability to pray. Listen, anything you want in life, hear me. You know how you get it? You ask for it from God. I have told you. If you know, there's nothing wrong with desiring big things. Maybe I should even start praying that God will give me a house as big as Puff Daddy's own, so that the whole building will be a wardrobe. If you want it, there's nothing. Look, believe me, there's nothing wrong with wanting anything. You can say, dear Lord, I don't want built-in wardrobes anymore. I want to walk into a street, and the street is the wardrobe. That the house will be so big, nothing. The only thing that God says is simple. How do you plan to get it? Are you getting my point? Look, this is how believers should get something. You know what you do? Just go to the corner of your one simple, one tiny room, where did they call your own, where you want to ask for a 1,000 room mansion. Kneel down that corner, ask for it, and leave it there. And it is forbidden. Listen, this is what Christianity is. It is forbidden on earth to start walking towards material things. It's not right. For believers, they are added to you as a gift of God. You will know when the season is ripe and you can harvest it. Like I told you earlier, that's one of the things I found out. I told God one thing, you please don't give me the privilege of doing it. It's sweating and sweating to buy a car, buy a shoe, buy a house, No, I don't want that sweat. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I don't want the one that the month will be ending of my heart to the court. Say, I supposed to pay the bank one installment this month to a year. That means I can't do this again. No. I will discover what is my responsibility for the day. And I do that one. It doesn't mean I don't want my poor daddy's size house. It just means I will not be working hard towards it. It's settled by prayer. Then I work hard towards sowing and watering. What is sowing? I don't mean giving money towards the heart. That's not what I mean. I mean if I'm a preacher, I will get up and go back and preach harder still. Are you getting what I'm saying? Whatever work I'm doing, I put more energy into it and I keep giving God thanks for everything that comes my way. When the season is ripe, God will open the door. Events will set in motion that will let me know that my poor daddy's size house is time to harvest it. Please, I hope we've gotten what I've said. Now we're reviewing issues, all right? Just trying to build up some issue. So who has the ability to take over a whole nation? Paul was explaining. Who has the ability to build a 1 million man church? Paul was asking. Nobody, he said. What is the issue? He said, who is adequate for these things? That's in verse 16. He now said in verse 17, notice this. We are not using our own methods. That's what he was trying to explain. I need to just get everything into our minds. Paul didn't say many things in 2 Corinthians, up to where we are right now. Not many things. Just a few things he kept on trying to emphasize. And what he said up to now is what I've been trying to explain so far. He said, we are not, like many, peddling the word of God, but from sincerity, as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Who is it that has the ability for these things? No, we don't think we have the ability. What we do is just, all we do is we speak with sincerity. All right? As from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. We are speaking God's word. That is, it is that word that has the anointing upon it. So in now come down to chapter 3. I won't read everything because we've gone over it before. In answer, you understand, we're not trying to say we are better than other people. We're not trying to commend ourselves and show you our certificates. He said, what we need to know about us, you already know. You have experienced us. He said, you are our letter of commendation or recommendation, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Now, he kept on explaining. You see, I'm trying to put it, all those things. I said, Paul said many things to bring out one point. That all the results we are getting is not by methods or labor. It's by faithfulness in preaching. Are you getting my point? He now said, look, verse 4, and such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider any of these things as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy, or King James says, sufficiency is from God, who also made us adequate as servants. Notice the word servants, of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Then he began to talk about the difference between the letter and the spirit. I think we should continue from somewhere around here. All right?